Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You see the offense. They're not a team that's going to win a lot of games by out-slugging other teams. The way they're throwing right now, you'd have to say yes, because this is legit. This is a staff of strike throwers. I like the fact that they've kind of moved along with the modern game and moved more away from sinker-heavy staff to a breaking ball staff. That's what plays in today's game. They have a very thin margin of error. It's a thin margin of error, tough way to win. It reminds me last year of Seattle when they were the talk of baseball for the first 3 or 4 months, winning a ton of one-run games. Caught up to them in the second half of the season. But in the right scenario, yeah, you can carry this into July or August where you're talking about a wild card.
Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated. Fox Sports with us on the Pirates and if they're for real or not. And we're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. In first place, but it's only April 19th. Chris, do they look more like a pretender or a contender to you?
In the end, I think a pretender. They've scored 59 runs. I know they've only given up 54, but in 16 games, yeah, they're inhibiting runs really well. Yeah, they actually should probably be like 12-4 right now because of a couple late blown leads. But where is the eventually, and this is a bias of mine, I always assume that teams that only can pitch and really struggle to score runs, that pitching will eventually kind of gas out and have a little stretch where it's bumpy, and you'll probably lose those games if the offense doesn't come around. Where do you see the offense coming from? Polanco coming back?
Dickerson.
I mean, do you really see it, though, coming back in a big way? Are those two guys, like,
no.
Major difference
no,
makers
No, but they can't
you?
Get any worse. They're 14th in runs in the NL. The only team with fewer is the Marlins, and in a home run hitting league, they've hit 13 in 16 games, which is by far the lowest in baseball. They're not going to – no one had this team pegged as the Big Red Machine when the season started, okay? If anything, they're going to have to – look at those early 90s Braves teams before they got Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and Gary Sheffield and those teams and just try to outpitch everybody. And so good.
Those Braves teams had like
Fred McGriff and Terry Pendleton.
And
I know.
Ron Gant. They had guys who could hit the ball. And David Justice.
Yeah, that was a bad example. You're right about that. They could hit too. And this team's not going to do that. But there's no doubt about this. If you pitch better than everybody else, you will have a great year.
Well, there's the whole team ERA being in the top five is a huge indicator of success
well,
in making
this?
The postseason. I get that.
So right now they have the best ERA in the National League. It's 2.63. Mm-hmm. They are best by a big number. The Giants are second at 3.16. So they're a half run better than everybody else in baseball, which is a massive margin. If you look at I just took the last 5 years because, you know, that's not a big sample size, but you go back any further than that, you get to a point where, you know, you're citing things that happened 10 or 15 years ago that are probably less relevant to the way today's game is played.
Mm-hmm.
Last 5 years, here are the National League ERA leaders. 2018 Dodgers went to the World Series. 2017 Dodgers went to the World Series. 2016 Cubs won the World Series. 2015 Cardinals, 100-game winner. Best record in baseball. 2014 Nationals, 96-game winner. Best record in the National League. So
every one of those teams had major offensive thump. Every one of them. The Cubs,
Sure, I guess.
The Cubs had mashers. The Nationals were a good
offense.
But
they were pitching first and they were hit. Most of those teams were hitting second, Chris.
I understand that, but don't you think it's easier for great pitchers to pitch when they know they've got some run support? I know DeGrom last year was lights out no matter what he was doing, but that's one guy. You know, no matter if the Mets were scoring zero or one run, he was going to be great. I think it wears on a pitching staff when you never have any laughers where guys can basically get a rest.
Well, okay, so if you think that's true, then they won't pitch this way for most of the year.
Do you think they're more of a contender right now? Do you see a contender?
I see a team right now that should make the playoffs. Why not? If they are the best pitching team...
Do you believe Trevor Williams will be this good all year?
Man, I've been doubting Trevor Williams for like a year. And
that's
at some point,
I've
got to shut up about it.
But do you?
Am I still skeptical of him? Yes.
What about Musgrove?
I'm buying into Musgrove.
What about Archer?
I like Archer.
Tyone.
Love Tyone.
Fifth starter.
They'll get by.
They'll get by.
Yeah, they won't have a guy like Jordan Lyles.
So it sounds like you're a lot more bullish on Archer than you were previously. Because I don't remember you being like a huge Chris Archer's going to be really good.
I didn't say I was. I said I think he'll be good. His ERA last year with the Pirates in a handful of in more than a handful of starts was like between 3.5 and 4. And that's he's never been that kind of pitcher. So he'll be better this year than he was for them over the last 10 starts of 2018. I don't think he'll compete for a Cy Young Award, but I think he can strike out close to 200 guys.
Do you worry about their bullpen?
Yeah, I do. I don't, like, when you say worry, what do you mean? Like,
how many guys in that bullpen do you trust to hold a one-run lead? Vasquez?
Vasquez, for sure.
Crick?
Crick. Kella, you'd have to waver on
Birdie?
Right now. No, I can't say Birdie.
He looks actually pretty good, though.
No, I know. Like, he's got swing and miss stuff. Which
okay,
is,
so that's encouraging.
I'm not ready to give up on Kella. I know he's looked like dog vomit.
He needs to throw his curveball.
But he's a buy low candidate for me.
The one good
he's
thing.
He's a guy that I think, all right, get April out of your system. You've got 5 or 6
he's a
Rocky,
slow starter.
Rocky appearances behind you. Yeah, like I'm not ready to
I
say that.
I actually like
Kella
the
sucks.
Fact that he seems sort of petulant and that his attitude isn't maybe awesome. Because that strikes me as the kind of guy who actually won't internalize his struggles. The one thing Tom Verducci said that I thought was, you know, like an encouraging sign about their pitching is that they have moved away, in his opinion, from like trying to throw sinkers at everybody all the time and have started to lean on breaking stuff, which has become the norm. Swing and miss at your breaking pitches. That's good. That I like. And that's encouraging because it's at least... It's a venerable baseball writer suggesting that the Pirates aren't just rigid in their approach. You couldn't have Chris Archer if you had this, but boy, Tyler. Do you wonder about what if Tyler Glasnow would be the pitcher he's been so far if he was here?
He wouldn't be.
What is that then? Can I just pull at that thread with you for a second?
It is an indictment on them. Like, they should be disappointed that they weren't able to unlock this pitcher.
Because, man, Tampa's
happens,
the only team that
scenery
pitched...
sometimes, but still, you have it's a poor reflection on the Pirates.
Tampa's the only pitching staff better than the Pirates this year, and they're actually better by a pretty considerable margin themselves, and he looks unhittable.
Well,
he's getting guys to swing at pitches that don't even start over
the
plate.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you think Tampa can make the playoffs?
Yes.
Name a big bat in their lineup.
I think they have better pitching, though.
Okay. Right.
And I think they are more novel in how they kind of do their thing.
But they don't have big punch either.
I know, but they won
their
90
best hitter
games
is Tommy
last
Pham.
Year. Tommy Pham is probably better than anybody in the Pirates lineup right now.
I would
now.
Agree with that, but he's not Mike Trout or Bryce Harper.
I look at like I mean, you know who might end up being their best hitter? Freaking Austin Meadows.
Yeah, well, that's another one. What do you make of this Jeopardy savant? Are you into it? He's on again tonight.
It's the worst time of day for
he's
me to
already,
be watching TV.
He's already, I think, second all-time in money made.
To Ken Jennings.
And he's a sports bettor.
Well,
he's a professional sports bettor.
The impressive thing is Ken Jennings won like $2.5 million, but his run took forever. Like,
74 episodes?
This guy has won $690,000, I think, in 10 episodes, maybe. So he is blistering Ken Jennings' actual... per show winning pace.
The ESPN article today says that this guy from Chicago, James.
No, he's a Vegas guy.
He lives in Vegas, but he's from Chicago.
Ah, okay.
Grew up a Cubs fan. He's on pace to break Jennings' record in 36 games. The crazy thing about this guy is that through 11 games, he has answered 30. Well, answered is the wrong. He's got, right? How do you phrase it? Because Jeopardy,
you
answer state
in
the
form
question.
Of a question. No, that's still the way you answer.
381 correct responses
out
to
of
13 wrong.
Yeah, he went 40 for 40 in one of the most recent ones. He was up 71,000 to 5,400 to 5,000. Then he, you know what the thing people love about him is, unlike most guys who or anybody who plays Jeopardy, who are in the lead, they get real risk averse with their daily doubles. He seeks them out and goes for broke every time. And, like, I think part of the cathartic thing or fun in watching Jeopardy for some people is watching people risk it all in double Jeopardy or daily doubles and then lose it. This guy never loses. I haven't watched a single episode of his run because that's when I'm putting Lennox
to sleep,
but I want to now.
It seems to me, and I have to plead Jeopardy ignorance here, that he's getting a lot of credit for his strategy, but based on that record, 381 questions right, 13 wrong.
Oh no,
he's just brilliant. He's just great at trivia.
People call him like the cyborg I've already seen. I think so. Here's why you're noticing that phenomenon. People have seen your Ken Jenningses, your people run through Jeopardy and be great at it, but all of the people that have been truly great have still been humble or sort of risk averse in the way that they bet money on it. He bets like a very confident sports gambler would bet. And that's why he's racking up money so quickly. And that's the phenomenon part of this. The fact that he is almost incapable of getting something wrong is
new. Why wouldn't you risk it? If he's guessed,
it's
right,
against human nature. Like everyone, when that much money is on the line, everybody but a sports bettor would be like, I don't want to risk a ton.
I think it's just logic. If he's gotten 381 right out of 394 questions,
he expects he'll get the next one right.
The percentage there is 97%.
So he's
of
betting,
course you risk everything.
Again, he's betting the odds. It's like you saying, I got great odds on this, so I threw $20 on it, even if it's unlikely to happen. You love the odds based on how likely you think it is to happen. Most people that are great at Jeopardy that actually go on the show and win don't look at it that way. To answer your question, no, I'm not into it technically because I haven't watched a single episode because I'm
neither.
Putting Lennox to bed then at 7 o'clock.
Do we know if Trebek likes this guy?
I think, everyone knows Trebek was diagnosed with cancer. He's not probably going to have a very good prognosis here. I think Trebek's softening on this. You know what? I bet Trebek loves that the guy goes for broke every time.
And I bet that it's bringing attention back to Jeopardy.
Well,
so
good
in many
attention.
Ways, this is the... was there negative attention to Jeopardy?
Trebek getting sick was not good attention. It was like everyone was sad, like everyone's favorite Canadian uncle is sick. But yeah, it's...
It's huge for Jeopardy.
Jeopardy, much like professional
sports... He is Jeopardy's
sports,
Zion Williamson.
No, much like professional sports...
This guy.
He's the Yankees of Jeopardy. Jeopardy needs a big money villain to have people tune in. You gotta have dynasties. You gotta have dynasties. They compel people. You can't have the Detroit Pistons of 2004 winning on Jeopardy.